It's Happy Hour again from Central City, New Orleans. Hello, I'm Grant Morris. Happy Hour is part of the family of shows on the podcast network itsneworleans.com, brought to you today in part by the Pearl Wine Company, which is at 3700 Orleans Avenue in the American Can Company building. They're open every day from noon till midnight. You can drink all day till midnight, except Sundays when you have to quit drinking at noon. Also, our show is brought to us today by Petite Pet Care, dog walking and pet sitting, loving care when you're not there. For more information, you can find them at petitepetcare.com or by calling them at 309-PET. If you're an iPhone user, you can also check out the podcast app Swell. We love Swell. It's a new awesome podcast app. It's the Pandora of podcasting. It goes out and finds podcasts that you're going to like and brings them home to you. Check it out. It's Swell only on the iPhone right now. When you walk into a bar in New Orleans and you pull up a bar stool, you never know who's going to be sitting on either side of you. What you do know is no matter what they look like, what they're wearing, whether they just got out of a limo or just got out of jail, like our mayor or ex-mayor, they're going to be happy to talk to you, because that's New Orleans and this is Happy Hour, a cocktail-fueled 60 minutes of random conversation with folks who have nothing in common, other than we're all New Orleans in a bar, in this case, Casa Borrega, on Aretha Castle, Haley Boulevard, in Central City, New Orleans. Casa
Borrega
is a bar, a restaurant, and a live music venue. Come on down and have an awesome meal, a drink, or just hang out with your friends, or hang out with us for the next 60 minutes. My special guest sitting around the table here at Happy Hour today. First of all, welcome back to Andrew Duhon, 2 weeks in a row.
How about that?
Something
That's
of a record.
Streak.
Very nice. We're
streak.
On a streak, exactly. And next week you're going to be in India, though, so
yeah.
Not going to last too long. Andrew Duhon is our Happy Hour troubadour who wanders around the world, and then occasionally when he's back in New Orleans, wanders on in here to play a song or two and have a cocktail. What are we drinking today, by the way?
That is a straight-up margarita. Just
standard. Straight-up margarita from Hugo Montero, the proprietor here at Casa Borrega. Sitting right down the end of this very long table today is Chris Gabick. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
Hi.
Thank you for
having
me.
Thanks for coming along. Chris
Anytime. Is
the founder and owner of 84 Flash, which is a brand storytelling company, which is sort of a PR sort of an outfit, I guess.
Yeah, digital marketing, fun stuff. New Orleans is a really exciting place to be for tech and marketing stuff right now. So.
I feel like you're such a long way away, and yet I can hear you in my headphones. It's so weird. It's like
being
in a real recording studio or something. If you're wondering if you've seen Chris or her family around here, you may have. She's an eighth generation New Orleanian.
Wow.
That's a long time. So you're great, great, great. Something or other grandparents came here on the first ships?
Yeah, I think that's how. Didn't they come in like from Australia, Africa or something? I forgot how the history turned out.
Well, I wouldn't know anything about your family, I'm sorry to tell you. What? Who were they?
No, well, the Dyckmans.
Dyckmans?
Yeah, that's a little German. A little German there.
Okay.
But yeah, my great uncle was a senator here from Huey P. Long to Edwin Edwards.
Your great uncle was a senator in the Baton Rouge legislature, serving under governors from Huey P. Long to Edwin Edwards.
Yeah.
What a reign, actually, to be able to say that, even in a
good
single
run.
Sentence.
He had a good run.
So you must be hooked up, then.
I'm
out of jail. You're
I'm
the person
here.
To talk to. Yeah.
Yeah, so but I've made it now.
Do you know everybody in the state?
She's at the head of the table.
Yeah, really? That says something. Hey, Wolf, and prior to being a brand storytelling person, the 84 Flash, you were the PR person for Irvin Mayfield's various operations.
Part of the team.
He's got a big operation down there.
I know. I just saw down the street from here is where the new New Orleans Jazz, the market, is being built right now.
Is he part of that as well?
Oh, yeah. They like put it the whole shebang together.
What's up with that Irvin Mayfield? He's got his finger in everything. How does he do that?
I don't know. He truly is, like, I think, one of the best guys I know. I actually saw him last night. You know, he plays I'm not trying to do a plug, I swear. But every Wednesday he plays at the Playhouse. And it's just, like, super cool how accessible, like, really good jazz music is. And I don't think there's, like, a lot of good jazz music in the French Quarter, but
you were also the PR person for Tales of the Cocktail.
Yeah.
And the Ritz-Carlton. You had some pretty good accounts, and you gave it all up to go out on your own.
Yeah, living the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you making tons?
That just made me
are
sound,
making,
like, way cooler than
Are you making
there.
Tons more money this way, or are you starving now that you're not?
I am enjoying the free margaritas, so.
Hey. So are we. All right. Also joining us today is Rachel Dangemon. Welcome back to Happy Hour. So good to have you back again. Rachel is a writer, journalist, and a longtime New Orleans blogger on her website, dangemond.org. Her latest undertaking is a recently launched blog called Transracial Parenting, which deals with race, racism, and parenting in the 21st century, which is handy because we're in the 21st century for a long time now. So got a huge market ahead of you. Rachel is also the author of the book The Elephant in the Playground, which talks to white parents of white children about how to prepare their kids for the new global and multi-ethnic world. Has the book come out?
That's a book in progress.
How far away? You have to lean into this damn.
It's a book in progress.
Microphone.
No, I mean it's coming along. It's coming along really.
Are
well.
You writing it or
yes,
have you
I
finished
am,
it?
I'm writing.
What
it.
Chapter are you up to? We could help you.
I have 10 chapters right now.
You've written 10 chapters.
Yes.
And how many chapters in a book?
It could be that it's only 10, but I'm, you know.
So it's finished. Congratulations.
Rewriting.
That's awesome.
Yeah,
have a
right.
drink.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes, yes.
All right. I can see the montage after you say it's coming along, straight cut to you like walking around the house and then like typing and beating your head into the wall and then
yeah.
like overeating at like 3 a.m. something.
Yeah,
weird
yeah
about
that's exactly
this
what,
is
that's
what
that's
the writing.
And I'm going to India next
the writing
week too,
process.
Yeah,
no kidding.
Yeah, to
okay.
get away, no.
Andrew's going
Don't
to India.
Wish.
I wish I could go to India too, Rachel.
Me too.
Would you
can
like
I go
to
with you, Andrew?
Sure, come on.
Okay, thanks.
Hey, also joining us today at the table is Tim Dangermond, who is related to you, of course, Rachel. Tim is already a celebrity, and he's not quite 5 years old yet. Tim, welcome to Happy Hour.
Good to see you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey, all right. This is Tim's third year in a row that he's been featured as the Times-Picayune's poster boy for French Quarter Fest, playing his pocket trumpet. Huh. Tim's also been photographed by many local professional photographers. One of them posted a photo of Tim playing his plastic sword like a trumpet on a Brazilian photography site, and it received over 1,000 likes within days.
Nice job.
Dude, you're like an international superstar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right, Tim?
Yep, I did.
Okay.
And also... On my birthday, and even it even ties enough, and like it's good. I'm gonna get the same cake as usual.
The same cake as usual.
No
what
truer words.
What kind of a cake is that?
Consistency is important.
Chocolate cake. That's all you have to say. That's fair
chocolate
enough.
Chocolate dobage.
Oh, chocolate dobage cake. Wow, that's
choice.
Great.
Yeah,
salad
that's
choice.
My favorite.
That's
oh,
my
I love that
it
too.
It has a lot of frosting in it.
Yes.
Oh.
You can't beat that.
It's actually
Tim,
pudding.
Listen, you guys, Tim has played his pocket trumpet on stage with clarinet virtuoso Evan Christopher with the Israel Trio for 2 years. Now he's played with the Roma Band in Madrid. You go to Spain?
Yep.
How do you get to Spain?
On a plane.
Uh-huh. And does someone book you on a tour or you just go with Mom on vacation?
I go with Mom on vacation, and also I see Tete there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. Yeah. So you have family.
His grandmother is in Croatia, actually.
Yeah, my
it's in Croatia.
Grandma.
Your grandma's in Croatia?
Yep.
Wow. Can you spell Croatia?
A little bit.
Okay. Spell one letter from Croatia. C? Yeah, okay.
C.
Let's go for that. Okay. Although music has been an intense focus for Tim, he's currently turned his attention to Thomas the Train. Though he continues to study with the Neo Jazz Collective on a weekly basis, and with his godfather, Evan Christopher, the clarinet virtuoso when the opportunity arises. Mm-hmm. Tim, welcome to Happy Hour. It's nice to have you here.
Yeah, and also
yep.
Thomas the Train
yeah.
and all his friends. And even I don't have these trains, like Arian Bird and
Are you,
Dan
you're putting in a request for more trains here?
Yeah.
Okay, so if anyone's listening, they want to send you a train. Which one should they send?
Sir Handel, I don't have. He's blue. And mm-hmm. I don't also have, like, I don't have Sir Handel and Scarlowe. That's
Sir Handel and Scarlowe. Okay, if anyone's listening to this, and they'd like to send you.
His birthday's
you can look at our website and get our address, and we'll be happy to hand on those trains to you. Tim, thanks very much. Katie Channing and Shanice Grantham are here as well, collectively known as the Little Things.
That's us.
You're not that little, actually. You look like average-sized people.
We're pretty average.
Yeah.
I feel like I get crap for being short a lot.
So are you short?
I'm only like 5'3".
She's below. I would say below.
How tall are you? That's Katie is 5'3". Shanice, how tall are you?
I'm 5'5 on a good day.
Okay. Are you having a good day? You look super tall today. Katie and Shanice are street musicians, mm-hmm. and they serenade passers-by in the French Quarter on ukulele and vocal harmony. Mm-hmm. And when they're not hanging out on the street, they're making and selling tie-dye T-shirts and hula hoops.
Yeah.
Really? Are you?
Yeah.
We like to call it modern-day hippies. We just have our hands in everything.
We do it all.
You make how do you make a hula hoop?
You take irrigation tubing for plumbing.
Yeah.
And pretty tape.
What tape?
Pretty tape?
Pretty tape.
Pretty tape. Yeah, you can take.
So you're selling irrigation tubing with like duct tape, basically. Colored duct tape.
Well, not duct tape, because duct tape is kind of sticky and icky, and
it makes it sound simple. It's actually kind of complicated.
It's pretty complicated.
Yeah, Shanice, you got to make it sound a lot more exotic than that. Otherwise, you're just selling irrigation tubing with
like,
sticky
on.
Tape for... How much is a hula hoop?
Well, it depends on the hoop, but they usually go for like $20.
$20 for a bit of irrigation. Mm. So if I'm...
But I mean, if you ever pick up like a Walmart hula hoop or anything, they're really thin and flimsy and lightweight.
Oh, shitty.
Water in them. Yeah, shitty would be the word.
Or whatever the kid-approved word is there for that.
He's not listening.
He doesn't care. So what makes a good hula hoop? Good quality irrigation tubing.
Well, it's about the size. It's the songs. It's a good size.
See?
For yourself.
I told you
always
that, Andrew.
Always about the size.
Yes.
About the size.
Thank you, Rachel.
Yeah. I mean, I like women, yeah. I want a second opinion.
It's about the size.
I'll give you one, Andrew.
A second opinion. If the kids get that one, it's not.
Okay, so.
Kids are like crazy.
Do you know how to hula? Yeah, right. Word. So, okay, hula hoop. I'm going to finish reading this.
Yeah.
And do you also make tie-dye t-shirts?
Yes.
So, what's the secret behind a tie-dye t-shirt?
Good
patience.
Patience. Patience is the key.
Patience, and I would say good rubber bands.
Good rubber bands.
So, who was the one among you or both of you to come up with this idea together to make hula hoops and tie-dye t-shirts?
We just kind of, we were hanging out in our apartment in Florida, actually, where we met, and we had a hula hoop, and we were hula hooping, and she thought, well.
Inside.
Yeah, inside.
Inside.
And Katie was like, I wish it was better, because it was a Walmart hula hoop with the water slushing around, and, you know.
It was just really.
Did you guys know there's water in hula hoops?
No.
Did you know that, Rachel?
I actually have a lot of hula hoops.
How many?
And I've made my own hula hoop before, too.
Really? Chris? Eighth generation hula hooping, right?
Well, I was raised in rock and roll, so, I mean, that's, like, kind of the hula hoop.
We had two.
Like, yeah, don't you agree? That's, like, hula hoop mastery place.
Rock and ball.
It is.
Rock and ball.
Rock and ball's got a lot of hula hooping.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's what you do.
She's like,
Mr.
Duh.
Johnny is, yeah.
You think you go to
that is my intelligent put in. Duh.
When you say you were raised at rock and ball, what exactly does that mean?
It means that my mother raised me right, and it breaks my heart that anytime someone comes to visit me in New Orleans, I will not be able to be like, so we're going to go to this, you know, bowling alley. We're going to go up this little rickety staircase, like kind of shady looking place. And, oh, yeah, there's a bowling alley upstairs. There's a giant bar and a dance floor. The lanes, you know, they've got craters in them, and the balls have way more than three holes, but we were going to have a friggin' time of our life. And I had my first drink. I think it was like 13, and I had a white Russian. Then I saw a Big Lebowski whenever I was inappropriately, you know, 14. And then I got it. And so I feel that you're raised right in New Orleans that way, right?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah,
a really, absolutely. Really cool thing to be able to go and do. And it sucks that, I mean, I love them. I love everything about that place. But it was just so cool to, like, be able to share that experience there. No one will ever be able to go and experience rock and roll like
Agreed.
That again.
Yeah, and there was sort of a carpe diem feeling right towards the stage to the left while you were dancing. Because you could feel kind of the floorboards were a little...
You're like, I might die right now.
This might be it.
I'm
going to
dance.
And it was educational because you had to keep your own score. Like, that's where I learned, you know.
Hey, I scored.
Keep your own score while you're drunk.
Market 8, Walter.
At 13.
Absolutely.
How old were you when you first went there, just as a little kid?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Like 10's age, like 5.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, young and old, like, going there and watching older people Zydeco dance, I mean, it makes me depressed. Those men, like, they whip you around like nothing else. Take it however you want it. But whenever you dance with a man who knows how he's dancing, especially, like, Zydeco style, that's, like, the funnest thing in the entire
yeah.
world.
Yeah. Well... The guy has to lead, though, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
You just follow. A woman always follows, it seems.
Yeah, but, like, growing up, like, I was personally born in Lafayette.
Not really.
Oh, but yeah.
At least
not with Zydeco dancing. I always felt when I went Zydeco dancing, if you didn't know what you're doing, you're like, you're a loser.
Well, it's good to have a man who's a good, strong lead. That's true, but it doesn't have to be the man who's the lead.
That was
it
just doesn't. A school.
Okay, all right.
Just say.
Well, yeah. That's whenever you, like, are raised with sisters and, like, you dance with each other, I think I became the lead. So, I mean, I, like, fight back whenever those men try and, like, lead. But
do you?
Oh, yeah. Well, because that's what I was raised doing. My sister and I would Zydeco dance, like, all over the place. So I'm all about the women leading. But, I mean, when the guys, like, fight back, then I'm like, no. We are going to turn you around. I'm just like, all right.
Wow. I didn't realize there was the politics of Zydeco dancing.
What? Oh, my.
Katie, are you a Zydeco dancer?
I can't say that I am.
Who's the lead among you two?
Well, it depends on the situation, I think.
It depends on the day.
Yeah.
Same thing with the height thing. On a good day, I'm the lead.
You're the lead. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you meet you two in the first place?
Well, there was an open mic in Florida. We're from Florida. We both moved here together, but I'm originally a drummer. And now we both play ukulele and sing, but I didn't sing or play ukulele before. And we met. She was with another band, her other duo. And we met there, and we were kind of like...
The duo is not a band, I don't think.
Well, it's a band in our world. We'll put it.
Okay.
Well, yeah, she was playing drums for her band, and I was with my partner doing ukulele stuff. And she walked in, and it was just kind of like, oh, yeah, this... Yeah, I guess this is going to happen.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was like love at first sight?
Basically.
Indeed it was.
Really?
Yeah.
How long ago was that?
That was Halloween of 2010.
Yeah, so roughly 3 years.
And then we started dating in January. like 3 months later.
Okay.
So that's
what happened to the other ukulele? She had to fire that person.
Well, we kind of.
Sorry, I met somebody more attractive.
I'm sorry.
Who's a better ukulele player? Who doesn't even play the ukulele actually?
Well, because her and I just kind of.
She's a drummer.
I mean, come on. She was training up. Let's be real here.
Ah, what happened to the person you dumped for the
drama?
Be the
prize, baby. Be the prize.
Thank you. Every day. We just kind of just stopped.
Drifted apart.
Be the prize.
Yeah.
See, Tim knows. He knows.
Could the other ukulele person make hula hoops or tie-dye t-shirts?
She lives in Orlando.
Yeah.
And she has one of my hula hoops and does hula hoops sometimes,
okay,
but doesn't make them. Instead, she just sings and... I think she's going to school. I don't know what she's doing.
So when did you two guys find out that you could sing so well together?
The first time we tried to.
Yeah, well, honestly, I didn't know how to sing. Like, if up until about 2 years ago, if someone had asked me, hey, can you sing this song? I would go, no, you're barking up the wrong tree. Like, go over there. I can't sing. And she was like, yeah, just try this. And we would, like, play sing in the car, you know, wherever we're going.
Yeah.
And it just happened.
I
honestly,
told her I
like
loved her voice, and that she
so
had
can
to
we
take
just hear
seriously.
You guys sing? Like, how long are we gonna wait for this?
Okay, moment? Let's do it, Rachel.
I mean,
I'm all for it.
I mean, it's like
let's
you're
do
talking it.
It up. Come on,
I'm
with
like a song. You know?
Pieces.
Like a song?
Yeah, let's hear something. Sure
okay?
thing.
Yeah,
it sure is okay.
Whoa, that was really loud. What do you want to do?
Is that too loud?
It's perfect.
Okay. I'm thinking it's a sign that the freckles in our eyes are mirror images, and when we kiss, they are perfectly aligned. I have to speculate the guidance of it make us into corresponding shapes like puzzle pieces from the clay. And true, it may seem like a stretch, but it's thoughts like this that catch my troubled head when you're away, when I am missing you. Are out there on the road for several weeks of shows, and when you scan the radio, I hope this song will guide you home. They will see us waving from such great heights. Come down now, they'll say, but everything looks perfect from far away. Come down now, but we'll stay. Persistent beat, it sounded thin upon this Sunday.
And that, frankly, will not fly. You'll hear the shrillest highs and lowest lows with the windows down when this is guiding you home. They will see us waving from such great heights. Come down now, they'll say. But everything looks perfect from far.
Nothing. Well, it was free, if that's what you mean. Yes, it was for nothing.
What does that mean? That was so nice. It was so enjoyable.
Yeah.
It was so perky.
Didn't
and it made me feel
were?
Happy, and I was smiling
tough
the whole time.
Thank you. It's a postal service. It's,
yeah.
it's how it goes for musicians, guys.
Are you
trust
familiar
me.
With the postal service?
No.
Yeah, sure. It's a great song.
It's Ben Gibbard. What's the other guy's name? Do you know the guy's name?
No, I don't.
I don't know the other guy's name, but Ben Gibbard from Death Cab for Cutie and some other guy. I don't remember his name. They lived on opposite sides of the country, and they were writing music together, so they would send each other their, like, versions of the song, what they had written through the Postal Service.
Aww.
So now they're the Postal Excellent. Service. They only had one yeah. album, and they just did their, like, last tour ever. It was like a 10-year reunion thing.
He's a great songwriter.
I mean, he's wonderful.
No, you guys
yeah.
do covers?
Birthday. Oh,
yes.
What's yeah. your birthday?
Oh, I said Ben Gibbard has her birthday.
Oh,
which is another is coincidence funny. With us, is my birthday is August 11th and her birthday is August 12th.
Yeah. Well, that's another weird coincidence. Okay. The same year?
No.
Different years. Right? Okay. We're not going down that road at all. So, you look so happy when you're playing that. Is that just an act?
No.
You really are super happy?
Yes. We love singing with each other. I mean, honestly, if this could pay the bills, and it does pay the bills, this is what we do for a living, you know.
Chris, how it goes. Come in here. How are you gonna make? How would they get these guys to pay the bills? This is what you do for a living.
PR,
Chris can make you take
Chris.
You from off
literally,
the street.
Literally, I know that this is the radio, so they can't see. That was the one second I wasn't looking because I was trying to figure out how to get the margarita.
I was gonna get it for
to
you.
Ah, we can. Douglas can get it.
And I saw that you were ready for it, and yeah. I'm. Actually, I had to communicate that, but yes, we can talk. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to make
like literally the one moment that
luckily
it, like
for
totally
you.
Changed.
What
my
was
luckily for you,
that for?
No, I heard all of that. I'm not getting the question. I'm
the
sorry.
Question. You
yes,
didn't
me.
Miss the question. The question was.
I'm imbibed now. Go on.
Okay. Now you have the margarita. The question was, seeing that you're a professional and you've
yes.
made people famous, like you know Irvin Mayfield, how would you take these girls? Well, they're both really good looking, right?
Oh my God, they're super hot.
They're super
that's
hot.
That's like the first
okay.
thing I said.
Yes, they're very pretty.
Thank
they're
you.
So happy
stunning.
When they play. They can play
they
and
radiate.
Sing and they're it's in tune. They've got
yes.
everything going for
we
them.
We try. We try to be
so,
in tune. I mean,
and they're playing on the street.
Yeah, well, the most important thing is authenticity. I mean, like, which is what they have. And
yeah.
I thought it was so cool. I mean, whenever I was speaking to them earlier about how they even got this situation is because of Twitter. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like, just because you're already promoting your brand and yourself and someone noticed you, like, through social media. So they're, like, way ahead of the game on that and then suggested that you
like,
join
game
this program.
Is
but I'm telling you,
silly.
Like, I mean, I think it's really, yes, I mean, I'm sure that you have input. Do you agree?
Tim's
yes.
like, I know what's going on here, okay?
He's, I'm like, I'm
well,
ready.
Tim
the
might
kid
have a
is,
good
like,
idea.
The French
He's
Quarter Festival poster boy. I was actually, and he has, like, 1,000 likes right on Facebook. I was going to ask him some social media marketing tips in a little bit.
Go ahead.
Okay, totally. Tim, how did you get to 1,000 likes so quickly?
I don't know.
Oh, great.
The honest answer.
Okay. Well,
then, I guess.
I'm going to say you'd be a super cute 7-year-old kid and include that in my next proposal. I'm going to find a 7-year-old kid for you.
He's
we're
what, 4?
Bring him out there.
He's going to be 5 in March.
Oh, dear.
Can you rent him?
Can you rent him for.
Is it legal?
Yeah, I do rent him. Yeah,
that's the service. Babysitting,
okay,
renting,
Chris,
whatever.
Chris,
hour?
Come on, like, get serious.
That's yeah. not true.
Get serious. That's not true.
That's
how
not
would you,
true.
How do you get somebody off
She's
the street
right.
like this?
I don't rent him.
And turn them into superstars?
Piece it up.
Piece it up.
I feel that I would be incredibly, incredibly successful if I could give you a finite answer to that, because then I would be doing that all the time. But I mean, in New Orleans,
but
it's
you
so
are
amazing.
Doing that all the time, aren't you?
No, I'd be turning.
Well, you can't turn the whole world into a superstar if it's one one client at a time.
Yeah. I think I'm going to lose all my clients after this thing. They're going to be like, wait, you can't do that.
You don't even know
you
anything.
Lie.
Damn. It's the
but
margaritas.
These guys have got everything
margaritas.
Going for them, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
They're super hot.
Well, it's all about visibility. I mean, I think it's amazing to come down, especially.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to know, why did y'all, this is the important thing, the authenticity element. They're from Florida. You tell us why you're here. Like, why, people in New Orleans, like, we want you to, like, freaking, you know,
yeah.
live and breathe and emote everything about this, or else, like, we don't buy it.
Right.
So,
well, I mean,
why
I can,
are you,
I can tell
here?
You right now, Go. First of all, we love the city. Like,
love
literally,
it.
Literally, our lifelong dream was to move to New York City, you know, and do the whole New York City musician thing, make it there.
And then we came here.
We came here for about a 4-day visit with our friend that went to school at Loyola,
mm-hmm.
and we just ended up falling in love, and literally 2 weeks later, we were moved here.
Yeah,
I mean, it
we
was like
that. We were here
for
a weekend, and then we literally moved here.
You know how many
like
people move
later.
Here? That same way.
Exactly. And
so
I feel like, you know, that happens with everybody, but at the same
no,
time.
I'm saying that's a great thing.
It's
right,
weird. Yeah.
Right. Like, how can you not come here and, like, not fall in love with the city?
Exactly.
You know?
We were sitting at the Maison, actually, in Frenchman, and we heard a band playing, and I just remember, like, looking at it and, like, almost crying. I was like, oh my God, the city, like, the culture, the music, like, you can tell that these people really genuinely love their music, and where we're from in Florida. If you go to a restaurant and you see that there's a band there, you're like,
yeah, like we would be kind of like outcasts.
Maybe we
like,
should
okay.
go to a different restaurant because the bands usually suck.
Oh, yeah.
Well, boom, so. Like that's your story right there. Like my company is like based on storytelling. And I mean, I got like a lot just from looking at you sing, but now like I care about what you have to say because that was absolutely like I almost brought a tear to my eye because I think everyone has had that situation where they've been sitting out on Frenchman or somewhere and hear something that's just like very, very special to them. So, I mean, I think that is amazing with viral video, with social media, Instagram. I'm like psycho about Instagram, but it's very interesting, and this is just a tip. You know, with audio, people are always, you know, on their phones looking at social media, but they can't usually hear, which, you know, sucks for singers because you want them to be able to hear you. So it's all about, like, pictures and visual, like all the pictures from here, and y'all like looking awesome and smiling because a lot of times people can't listen, and so just making absolutely everything as visual as possible.
This is bad news for podcasting, Andrew.
Right? Yeah, we're screwed.
Are we gonna post your podcast on Instagram for a 5-second clip? No, that's not your like.
If you're going to listen to an hour long podcast, you're gonna listen to an hour. But if you're scrolling on Instagram and you're, you know, sitting in the toilet at work, you're not gonna. You know, then it comes on.
Yeah, and she's talking about awareness. That's different. Branding is different because you could have your mug, you know, or you know, both of y'all's mug up on Instagram, you know.
Me and Andrew, we're on Instagram constantly. Yeah. And Pinterest.
If you just keep saying like hashtag Australian accent, like
no, we are not.
You'll get it.
Yeah.
All right. So I have a question. Do you guys write your own stuff? Do you write songs?
We this is like a year and a half old, so it's basically been covers and just trying to get our names out there and trying to get us heard. Mm-hmm. And so recently, we started to write our own music.
You know, like when you go into the house of an artist and there's just like a bunch of canvases that are like half painted and like just like a couple lines. That's what we.
I use that metaphor myself.
Andrew's an incredible songwriter. Have you ever heard Andrew play?
No, we haven't.
I'm going to make him play something for you right now.
Right?
Yeah, I'll play it.
Play something. Play something.
Do you have a guitar lying around?
Yes. You guys will have to talk amongst yourselves.
Okay, well, you go grab it out.
Hey, Tin, you have a song for us? You want to sing a song for us while we're waiting on Andrew?
Yeah, let's hear it.
How about that Laura Mavola that you like? What makes you the center of the universe?
What happened to the pocket trumpet? No pocket trumpet today.
I was
today.
Actually going to bring it, but I, you know, it could have transformed the whole day.
Could have gone to down a bad road there.
Place.
I hear.
You know?
Yeah.
You never know.
I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
Okay, so Andrew Duhon is going to play something for you, Tim.
We're actually going to play the same gig with him coming up on March 2nd for Mardi Gras. We just figured that out.
Where are you playing, you guys?
March 2nd? Where? In Dimian, March 2nd?
For Ocho Palooza. Ah. It's going to be at,
Napoleon and St. Charles.
Oh, perfect.
On what day is this?
It's Sunday.
March 2nd. What day is
Sunday.
It?
It's
Sunday. Before Mardi Gras.
Yeah.
So it's Bacchus Sunday.
Oh, yes.
So what time is that going to be?
Ours is earlier in the day, like 11.
I think I'm right after you guys.
Yeah.
Cool, so
you're opening for Andrew on the call, just like today.
Look at that. Just like we just did.
On Napoleon and what?
St. Charles.
That's a block away from my house.
There you go.
I will be there.
You should
St. Charles and Napoleon.
It's just off of St. Charles. Whoa. Loud noises.
Yeah, it's nothing serious.
All right, good.
In fact, let's see who else is on that bill. I believe Sweet Crude is playing after me, and then it's To Be Continued Brass Band, TBC Brass Band.
Well, that's going to be quite an afternoon. What are you playing today?
Well, I'm trying to play you new songs every time, so I'm going to keep that going. I don't know what it's called. It goes like this. Think the single blues in heaven. Oh, mama, I just gotta know. Or is it too much good news? They ever sing the blues? Is the devil still in rock and roll? Oh, well, I can get along to a gospel song, but the blues is in my soul. If they don't sing the blues in heaven, then I don't wanna go. You wanna hear something happy? Sing the good news. Maybe later on I'll tell you the truth. Wanna hear something happy? Oh, sing the good news. And maybe later on I'll tell you the truth. Think they sing the blues in heaven. Oh, mama, I just gotta know. Or is it too much good news? They ever sing the blues? Is the devil still in rock and roll? Well, if they don't sing the blues in heaven, it's probably nobody there I would know. Brothers and sisters, if you're with me, put your hands on your radio.
You wanna hear something happy? I'll sing the good news. And maybe later on I'll tell you the truth. Wanna hear something happy? Oh, sing the good news. Me, I'm looking for a woman who can dance to the blues. You think to sing the blues in heaven? Oh, mama, I just gotta know. If they don't sing the blues in heaven, then I don't wanna go.
I just fell in love, by the way.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.
Nice. Okay. Little Things, what'd you think of that?
That was wonderful.
Wow.
Hey,
I love that. I love your thick tone of voice. I really appreciate that.
I've been working on that.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
I mean, honestly, you really have a great tone. That's my problem as a musician, I feel, recently. It's like, I'm trying to like thicken my tone a little bit since I'm new to the whole singing game.
How do you do that?
I would say just practicing, honestly. Like, there's like breathing the right way. Like, most people, when they have to take a breath with singing, they go, and they do that upward when it really should come from.
You shouldn't move
contract
your
stomach.
Yeah.
Your shoulders shouldn't move at all.
When I sing, Tin usually tells me to be quiet.
I think that's what every kid tells their mom. Yeah. Do you have any choral training or any vocal training at all?
No, I recently took some voice lessons to find out what that was all about.
Mm-hmm. Did you learn
and
anything?
It's been incredibly enlightening to kind of understand how the whole thing works. And
right.
Yeah, the sense that I get is that it's a chest voice, which you speak from. And then you've got a head voice, which is up here.
Right.
And it's singing is a process of learning how to use those two voices and blending them.
And my issue is transitioning, actually, between those two.
That's always the hardest part. Do you know Roger Love? Have you heard of Roger Love?
I don't know.
He's an author, vocal coach, etc. He has a book called Set Your Voice Free. And he taught Hanson, remember, they sang it when they were, 12 years old and they hadn't had puberty yet. They're 25 and they're still supposed to be able to sing, and they can't because it's too high. So Roger Love trained them to, like, help them sing. And, like,
now as men, they can hit that note.
I like that for this guy, you gave him legitimacy by saying he worked with Hanson.
Well, that was the first example I thought. If you work with a bunch of other people, but I just haven't read the book.
I mean, he's incredible, though. It would be worth checking out. It's called Set Your Voice Free.
Set Your Voice Free. Yeah, my parents are musicians, and my dad smoked for, 100 million years and drank and, the whole, like, grungy bar singing man guitar playing voice. And,
I know the type.
Yeah. And he realized that by the end of the night he was losing his voice and he wanted to fix that because, that's what he does to support his kids.
Right.
So he picked up Set Your Voice Free and he's like, wow, I can sing all night and it doesn't hurt.
That's it, yeah.
And
it's
just from reading a book?
Just from reading a book. There's a CD that gives you, like, vocal warm-ups. And, like,
books are powerful, right?
And it explains the way you, are supposed to breathe and sing and stuff.
You want to sing?
Tin, are you going to sing something for us?
Tin, would you like to sing? We'd love to hear from you.
We would. I would, personally. Yes. I know that for a fact.
I second that.
Okay. Do you need some musical accompaniment?
Or I can back you up. I can beatbox, kind of.
Yeah. Do you want
to? Do you need a beat?
She's a percussionist, so yeah.
Oh, you have to get the...
Yeah. Okay.
That's a beat.
So let's go. And a one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Oh, no pressure.
No, okay, well, we can come back to that.
Have y'all seen there's a new Coen Brothers movie, Inside Llewyn Davis? It's really, really good.
Yeah.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
Oh, it's fantastic.
What is it called?
Inside Llewyn Davis. But I mean, like, your look and sound like reminded me of that. His story is, like, super sad.
I've never
sad.
Heard
like,
that.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, wait, you never heard of the movie?
I'm being facetious.
This guy.
Do you have a big cat?
I don't, but that
you need to get one.
That was my first clever tweet after I got it for the second or third time. I think I'll stop carrying my cat around town until this Llewyn Davis thing blows over.
I saw
over,
that
you know?
Tweet. I remember that.
Oh, that's really
do you have something to say? Because we don't pout here. Does anybody pout?
Yeah. I pout all the time.
I don't pout.
Not helping
the case.
She pouts. See, you pout.
I pout in my bed and I go, and I sit at home and be whiny, and then I get out of bed and be awesome.
Okay, good. Okay.
Well, whenever I pout, I go listen to music. I don't sing, but
you can always call us. We'd be happy to come serenade.
Well, I mean, I was just pouting. No one can see because we're like on the radio or podcast.
There's some pouting going on.
However, if we could hear some music.
Things will pick us up.
Yeah.
You're right.
Music usually makes things better.
Right. Yeah, it does.
I'll find that, like, if her and I are ever, tense or if anything like that, we'll just pick up the ukuleles and start singing. It's like, I don't want to do music. I don't want to do music. We pick up the ukuleles and we're like, okay, let's do another one. Oh. Let's do another one. Yeah. It just like,
wow.
It's light.
What was the name of that show that was on, was it HBO? That New Zealand duo?
Oh,
Flight of the Conchords.
Flight of the Conchords.
Are you guys a bit like those two?
Sure.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Sure. Let's go with that. Brett and Jermaine.
Jermaine? Yeah.
Yes. I have a friend from New Zealand. I have this slight, incredible obsession with New Zealand.
No, it's not slight.
Okay,
you have a major obsession with New Zealand.
A little bit, okay. Well,
why are you so obsessed with New Zealand?
I don't know. It's just beautiful. And I was on YouTube one day and some random person commented on a video, a really stupid video of me being really stupid with one of my friends. And he commented on there and I went on his page and I was like, he's from New Zealand and we haven't stopped talking ever since.
And yes. I will say that the best experience we've had busking have been with New Zealand Kiwi people.
Kiwis.
Mm-hmm. We were literally walking down Frenchman Street one night and we just had our ukuleles in our hand in the cases, not going to play or anything, just walking. And they were like, can you play something for us?
They asked us where a bar was and we were like, oh yeah, you know, go to that one or whatever. And they said, oh, you're musicians.
Yeah.
Can you play something?
And then we played a song for them and they literally, between like four people, we got like $80.
We literally played one song
drunk,
and they were just like,
drunk New Zealand.
No, they weren't. They were completely
they were
sober.
Or they were holding the liquor really well. They didn't seem drunk at all and they were just like, wow, this is really good. They just kind of stood there and...
There's a huge Australian, New Zealand contingency in New
Orleans. Are they going to hear?
Like, there's a lot of them.
Tim would like to sing the Thomas song.
Oh, please.
And if he
please.
Does, if any, and, okay, so let's start. Let's do it. And I wish I knew the beat so I could get it going for you. Mm. Let's do the Thomas song, okay? Come on. All right? Go. Well, I don't know it. Does anybody know the Thomas song here?
No, but
not
I can try.
Too sure
it's got
goes.
A train
dun, 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 dun. Something like that, huh?
I used to
up
know.
And
can you
down.
Start it off, Tim?
We'll follow
get it
you.
Going.
Yeah, we'll follow you.
We'll
okay,
follow
let's go. Let's go.
I'll meet you. One.
Okay, two, one, and a two, and a one, two, three.
Is that the end of it?
That's it.
Yeah.
Tim Dangermond off his first record, Thomas.
Thank you.
Only
nice.
Heard here.
So, Rachel, what are you doing all day? Are you writing this book all day?
Oh, yeah. I'm writing my book all day. I just actually printed a picture of Idris Elba. You know who he is?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I printed a picture of him saying, so are you writing? And I put it in front of my desk so that it's a constant reminder. But no, I'm writing and I'm working on it and I'm revisiting it. I'm doing workshops. I'm doing other work. I'm writing about fracking, you know, stuff, you know, whatever. Whatever pays the bills.
You lead workshops.
I lead workshops, yes.
What subject?
On race and parenting.
Really? And is there enough of a market for that?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I actually spoke to the Parenting Center today, and they were very interested. You know, if you look at their lineup of the kind of classes that they give new parents, none of it speaks to race. And yet most parents don't have any race awareness or don't know how to parent. To help their children be racially aware of racism, race difference, things like this. And so I'm going to do a workshop for them, and we're trying to figure out how to get on the schedule. But so, and I just did one for the Louisiana Society for Foster to Adoptive Parents.
Wow.
A lot of times these...
It's like lease to own. Like
exactly. And what happens is a lot of these times there ends up being transracial families, and there's no background or understanding of... racial awareness. And
I can completely relate to that. Just not being from here.
Uh-huh.
There's certain places that I can't even go to, you know, that like I will get racial remarks. Even like to this day, I don't think people realize even in 2014 how much racism still exists.
Oh my God, yes.
What examples are you talking about?
Like, for example, when I was in high school, you know, I had a boyfriend, and he was Caucasian, you know, and we'd go out, we'd go to restaurants, just like him, sit and eat, and we would get stares, I would hear, like, you know, and like, people would come up to us and say, that's not right, what you're doing is not right.
People would come up to you in a restaurant.
This is in Florida, though.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
what's in Florida. I've never gotten in New Orleans,
Well, wait a minute, because I actually, when last time I was on here, did I have to call the FBI?
Did you have to call the FBI to get a clearance
to
come on the show?
No, not for that. But I had to call the FBI because I had somebody who, they went to my website and they started spamming me through my website and through Facebook saying the most horrendously horrible things about the fact that I have an African American son.
Don't.
And it was just, it was like, it was almost like, you know, like if something could
yeah.
be so.
You're the man.
Yes, you, honey.
Ten.
Well, where was
Ten
I?
Man.
You were at school probably, but they did this through email. Because
if it was the weekend, he would have handled that.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
he
sure he would have. See?
Right.
It's a war face right there. You guys are missing this.
Yes, he is, he's right. And so I protect him.
Hey,
talking to the microphone, Tim.
You would what?
Punch them.
Yeah, like punch them.
You would punch them?
Yeah.
You know what? I don't go for physical violence, but this person was so rude, I might have punched them too. But instead,
me too.
Yeah, you too. I might have, but I called the FBI instead, right?
And did he come?
The woman came, and they took my case, and they, and it was embarrassing for her to even read what was written because she was also African American, so it was embarrassing.
Oh no!
Did she take the bullet that was like?
Did she take what?
Did she take that was like? Did he?
You know,
that's
thing.
A fair question.
Yes, it is.
Did the police come and take
the police?
Did he put it in jail?
Handcuffs.
They put him in jail. No, they're investigate him, but it stopped.
But it's one thing. People do that on the internet. Yeah. Sit there in their house and they'll say all sorts of crap to you.
Well,
they
found
get away with it because it's
yeah,
behind a
they
computer.
Went. They did this all through avatars.
I was in school because I didn't know that it was happening, and when I came home, I said, what a terrible mess. What did this happen for?
Yes, I agree with you. But anyway, I was able to do my own investigations, and I found a couple of the names behind the avatars. One of them worked at the Transportation Department in Michigan. And so what I did was I posted on my blog.
How did you figure that out?
Well, because I just kept looking through the avatars and going back. And let me just tell you why. Because how this happened was this one guy who worked at the Department of Transportation found my blog and got his posse, who were all on a site. And let me just say what it is. Chip out.
Like
this Nazi, white supremacist, horrendously horrible site.
Horrible
and they all got together there and they said, go gang up on me.
See, I find it hard to believe that things like that still exist.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
It is like just amazing. Like, this is a website.
I can't even believe
you
that,
wish evolution
too.
Evolution would just hurry up.
Thank you.
Evolution's not true, Andrew. That's
right.
It's creationism.
That's right.
That's why it all went wrong.
I get confused.
That's okay.
What are they trying to achieve, these people?
I think that, what are they trying to achieve?
Yeah.
I think that they are, you know what they were saying was so, like I said, sometimes things are so bad they're funny or amusing, you know what I mean? But this was like so just base, raw hate, you know, from the get-go. It was like hate.
Just, so they don't have a... They don't have any goal in mind.
Was to out me as some white woman with an African American son.
Right. Well, that's obvious to anybody who looks at you. So, what are they trying to get
that,
at?
That
what
in
do
other
they
words,
want to happen?
How horrendously bad,
oh, you're a bad
wrong
person.
This is. Yes.
So this is
they
want to
knock you
example.
Down because you're standing up against stupid people like them, and they want to bring you down to their level because they're not stand up on their own feet.
Good point.
He agrees.
But are they trying to convince you you're wrong and change your ways and repent?
They're spamming me. They're spamming me with a lot of vitriol, a lot of racist vitriol. So it's I feel like it's a way to silence me.
But what are they going to do? What are you going to do? But nothing's going to change.
What do you have to say? Do you say it to the microphone, huh?
Yeah. I scored one day when I was playing like. Soccer ball. I scored.
That's
good
awesome. Day. You're
good
awesome.
Job.
That's good. Yeah.
Scoring is good. The more points your team gets, the more chance you have of winning.
My team didn't get the score.
Yeah,
I scored.
Oh, his team didn't get the score. He got the score.
But you scored,
you scored
for the team.
For the team.
Yeah,
yeah.
For the team. There's no I in team.
Yeah, for the team. That's the key to the whole thing. So these guys are just...
They're just trying to sound
off
like me. I'm writing about...
They don't want you to talk about it.
I'm writing about transracial families and about...
Like it's a good thing, and they're talking about it like it's a bad thing. So
it is a good thing.
No, but I mean, they've got an equal
point of
view. But
there's also challenges, right? And so the challenges are caused by living in a society that's, you know, inherently racist, right? So I'm writing about this, and they're trying to silence that.
But is it inherently racist, though?
Oh my God.
Aren't most people in America decent people? Can I tell you, you guys are on the street all day, don't you find that most people are relatively decent?
We've talked about this before. I'm going to tell you this. That, you know, when I went with, when I was in a relationship with his other parent, and we went to Croatia, and she's from Croatia. We got there. Croatia is the most homophobic country in this on this planet. Oh. They have signs on the beach that say no gays allowed.
Seriously?
Okay?
Real
seriously.
Signs.
Like, there are places that we can't go vacation together.
I kissed her on the cheek. I would kiss any of y'all on the cheek. And this lady literally grabbed her son's face and, like, turned it away and said, Jesus Christ, there are children here. And I looked at her. I was like, are you serious?
What country was this? And not Croatia.
It was the country of Florida.
Florida is an interesting place.
The urethra of the United States.
I wouldn't recommend that.
Sorry.
But what I was going to say is that what was interesting to me is how much my my partner had internalized that homophobia, and was so went go in the closet when she'd go home because of homophobia. And I think that, like, you can't. And we all were
go
born
in the closet. I don't think it means quite the same thing that you're thinking, Ken, but that is funny.
We were all born and raised with racism, with homophobia, with sexism. You know, it just it's in the air and the ether that we breathe. So you could be somebody who says, "I am consciously aware," I'm whatever, but you are constantly fighting racist notions. Yeah. You were born with them. It was spoon-fed to you.
A majority of Americans are now in favor of same-sex marriages. We know that for a fact.
Majority of Americans?
Isn't that true?
No, I wouldn't
say
majority.
I read that in the paper.
Read that in the paper.
I could be wrong, but I did.
We're on our way, but not the majority.
I mean, we have to drive all the way up to New York this year to get married.
Did you get married?
We're going to.
You're going to?
Yeah.
Come on, that's great. And is it going to be recognized? Yeah, I think it will be recognized.
Are you going to play at your own wedding?
Well,
absolutely.
That's a given.
Our godmom's going to marry us too, so it's pretty exciting.
She actually, she does the, what is it?
Marry yourself.
Yeah, she
marries
herself.
She's the encouraging priestess. She goes to Burning Man, and she shows all over New York, and she has to
marry yourself. What does that mean?
She basically marries you to yourself. She wants you to accept, like, every part of your fiber.
Finally, Andrew, somebody who will marry us.
Amen.
Ourselves.
So, yeah, you marry.
Graham, this is good news for all of us.
It's the idea of.
Leave Graham out of this, okay?
It's the idea of not needing, you know, someone else. Like, you know, like, people will marry someone
else.
I really
hate that.
Hate is a strong word. Why would you hate that? Marrying
yourself
is a wonderful
opinion. I like
thing.
It.
Bad.
What's bad? What's bad? What's bad? We don't even understand. Why would that be bad?
I think it can make you go blind.
Oh my God, that's a good point.
But she has you write vows, and you can do, like, whatever you
want.
What
is the name of this person who marries yourself?
Gabrielle Penabas. That's our godmother. She's wonderful, and she lives in New York.
She's your godmother, Shanice.
Well, it's her godmother initially, but she kind of adopted me. Cause,
yes. Oh, okay.
You know. She was my brother's godmom, like, originally, like, you know, like, the official
and
nonsense, but then she just kind of picked me up and was like, you can come. And I would go visit her in New York, and I stayed there for a couple weeks when I was,
I would
15.
Say 80% of our being and, like, the people that we are is a result of her.
She was very supportive and wonderful in that regard.
Wait, do y'all have to marry yourselves first and before you marry each other and then, like, divorce yourself?
No, she's an ordained minister, so she can actually marry us.
That was my, like, only attempt at humor. I give up. Get it?
Well, no, if you're already married to yourself, then it would be bigamy when you marry somebody else.
That's what my concern was.
Oh, I see what you're saying, right.
So you don't have to marry yourself, but she also does. She does everything. Like, we do the hula hoops, we do tie-dye, we do fire performance, we do ukulele
stuff.
We're
going to have to come back to this. Fire performance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hula hoops on fire. And then she spins poi.
Yeah. I used to do poi. I still have my poi.
Now that's from New Zealand.
You still have your poi.
Yes. Let's hear it for the poi, okay?
Come on. So you have poi's
poi,
huh?
I do have poi. Mm-hmm. I got. Wow. Do you do fire poi? I got them to learn how to do them to then do fire, and I never did get to that
point. I can
point.
Teach you.
Wait, oh, can I ask what poi is?
Shanice, okay.
I have
so
it's
fire
like
chain
with these burlap
Mommy.
Thingy, and you
it's
light
like
it on fire, and you.
Yeah, definitely. I'm all about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like Hawaiian stuff. If you go to Hawaii and you see guys spinning fire,
you've ever seen like a luau sort of thing, and they have the big fire fireballs on the
chains. Can I tell them something?
And then like a fire hula hoop, if you like imagine like a ship wheel, it's like the circle with the thingies coming out the side. You know what I'm talking about? There's five thingies and at the end is wick, and you soak it in kerosene or white gas or whatever
you
tickles your fancy
fire.
That lights on fire, and then you light it on fire, and then you just hope you don't get burned.
So you hula hoop with this thing with these sort of Roman candle type things
right.
on
the outside
sticking
exactly.
out of a hula hoop
candles, right.
Wow.
Yeah. And what's the chance of being set on fire? Quite high.
Quite high. Yeah. I actually am missing a chunk of hair right here.
Oh, wow.
It's actually pretty funny because you don't notice it until she says something. But no, she...
Once you notice it.
Yeah, once you notice it.
So your hair caught fire.
It did. But it was my own fault.
She had hairspray in her hair.
I had hairspray, and you shouldn't spin with hairspray. And I was at Christmas with my parents, and I was like, yeah, I'll just do it. And, you know, you just...
Sounds like an awesome hashtag. I'm going to look that up. Like, if there's a...
Don't spin with hairspray. Hey, are you checking your texts while you're here, Katie? Anything good?
I'm sorry. My butt kept buzzing, and it was just uncomfortable.
Who is it? Anybody?
Her butt
good?
Is buzzing.
You can
my
take phone calls buzzing. On the show. We don't care about that. Buzzing. Actually, we encourage you to make phone calls.
Yeah.
I'm just going to get on the phone, on the mic, you know. Mm-hmm. Just
hey, what about playing something? What do you think?
Absolutely.
Sure.
Okay.
What should we play? This is always the fun game we play. Play a song. Okay.
Do you have one you've written that's half written?
Do you have a nice Valentine's song? A happy, marry yourself type Valentine's song?
We have a very cute song.
What song?
A Bruno Mars song.
Do you want to do Bruno Mars, or we could do that other one, you and I? Okay. You guys just keep talking while we babble.
Okay, like
I've
okay.
got it. It's even better. It's okay. Ingrid Michaelson song.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
So happy you two. It's almost crazy.
Yeah.
You know, it's
isn't
it? It's almost fake.
It's the little things.
It's the little things that make you happy. You
this
know?
Is from a man who was singing the blues.
I kid. You know, what can I do? You know?
What can I do? My roommate calls us blindly optimistic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, we get it all the time.
Who's lucky enough to be your roommate? What a great gig that would be. Who is that?
Well,
we have two of them,
we have two
actually.
Roommates currently. We have a friend of ours, Andreas, and he does... nothing artistically, really. I mean, he paints and does guitar and stuff, but he works in, like, AV. And then a high school friend of mine who actually got me started.
Can I
ukulele,
tell him something?
Delia, who's an artist.
You can say.
Well, so you drag these people here from...
Andreas is the one who brought us over
here. Andreas dragged us here, and then Andreas we dragged here. Delia here.
Okay.
We're like, Delia, Florida sucks. Come live in New Orleans. It's awesome. And she's just been sitting at home and painting. She's
tell
actually on
to
set
listen.
For a movie right now. Which is something else.
Tell them to
are you
listen.
You work in movies?
Yeah.
What do you do in movies?
We just do background
work. Tell them to listen.
Yes.
You guys are busy.
Oh, we do it all.
We try to stay busy.
When's the wedding?
When's the wedding? October.
October. October. We haven't set an exact
great
date
time
yet.
To get married.
Oh, yeah. It's the best time of year. And
is it?
Yeah, it's
what's so good about October?
It's
the weather, really, is really what...
My favorite time of year.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if that's all it takes.
Well, except did y'all take football season into account? Like, I mean, I'm not anywhere about to get married, but it's not the most stressful thing about it. I can be kind of dramatic.
Are you single?
Well, yeah.
Are you almost married?
No, in no way, shape, or form. This has been...
Wait a minute, are you closer to getting married than I am to finishing my book, or where are we?
All fair questions. He is closer to being 35, probably, than I am.
Okay.
Talking
okay.
about
He's
the
only
five-year-old,
five.
By the
yeah.
way. I know, I'm really...
We're just 30 years away from
marriage. We're just joking.
Well, until
really.
The
not
day...
To scale.
Whenever the Excuse NFL me. Comes out with a hard, fast schedule, I mean, you know... a year and a half before the season starts so you can make sure you have a bye week and, you know, it, like, coincides with a really bad LSU game. I mean, just fall weddings are almost impossible.
Word.
Except, but, I mean, I'm really, I will go to the October. I will make an exception because usually in October, LSU plays Florida, like, the first week of October. So if you do that, we can make it work out because Florida sucks.
We will make it the first week.
That's been the theme of today.
We will make it the first week of October just so we can invite you.
It'll probably be the first week of October.
I'm glad we covered that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Rachel,
Tim wants me to interrupt y'all so that he could say something.
What's
and
that,
since
Tim?
I'm his PR person, I'm going to interrupt you. Tim, say what you got to say.
Tim is your last chance.
Yeah, come on, let's do it.
One time when we were in Spain, I was eating a pizza and I dropped it, and then ants came all over.
Oh, man.
The ants ate well for a week.
Yeah.
I'm sorry you dropped
the pizza. Any sentence that begins last time I was in Spain.
I was about to say.
Right?
The kids got it.
But I have to say something about those ants because it was very curious.
Spanish ants.
Did
they have an accent?
Well, they did the cha-cha-cha as they were coming over to the pizza.
They
but
had an accent.
He confirmed.
They
confirmed.
But afterwards, they climbed up the wall. And I took a picture of this. I swear to you, I was in a very difficult and conflicted time in my life. Hmm. They climbed up the wall and formed a question mark.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
No lie.
Whoa.
I am all for like believing.
This was in Amsterdam, or where were you exactly?
Spain.
It should have been in Amsterdam, probably.
Mommy.
It would have made more sense.
But it's just as good in Spain.
Mommy.
Did
it
help you crystallize?
Mommy.
Yes, Mommy. Yes.
Who climbed up the wall and made a mark?
Remember the ants formed a question mark on the wall?
The Spanish ants.
That's a good name for your next album.
The Spanish ants.
The little things in the Spanish
ants. Here's what I'd like to do for a future show.
Okay.
I'd like to get you in on the co-host spot. I'm going to sit back with just a clipboard, and I'm just going to take down his stuff and play you a song that I write from his stuff.
I like that idea.
Okay.
Let's do that.
I'm up for that.
I wrote a song about it.
The guy's
like
a bumper sticker factory, you know?
Seriously, you know, it was
chillin'. They are. It's because their imagination just keep going, and we're like, okay, think of something creative.
They really don't let anybody stop them either. That's
they don't let anybody.
See?
Yes.
They're little.
Okay, Tim, as soon as the check clears from the show, we'll organize you to come back, all right?
It's in the mail already.
Okay.
It's in the mail already.
We've come to the end of happy hour, everybody.
It's been so happy.
It's been such a happy hour.
It has been a very happy
hour. Yeah.
We don't call it happy hour because it's now. Andrew, have a good time in India.
I will. Oh, thanks.
Look forward to Tales from India
so
on your
jealous.
Return.
Yeah, we'll do.
We'll all be jealous from New Orleans.
Yeah.
Do you have
I'll
any
be
requests
back.
Or anything from India for your wedding, for a wedding present?
Actually, fun fact, not that you're going to India. I'm actually originally Hindu. My entire family is Hindu.
When you say originally Hindu, did you turn your back on that? The world's oldest religion.
I wouldn't say I turned my back on it, but there's a lot of beliefs that are... They're just like really, really old school Hindu, you know. So me like being gay and that
like
whole
the whole
thing doesn't work.
Thing, you know?
You know?
Oh,
yeah.
You're not allowed to be gay and Hindu. Mm.
Not.
How?
Not on their belief, but on my belief, yes. Mm.
I thought that Hinduism sort of predated all the rules.
Yeah,
that it was just sort of your individual
right,
relationship
exactly.
to all these hundreds of different gods.
I think
gods
it has a lot to
do
with them not
way.
Actually being in India and them like kind of taking the religion and migrating it into a different country, you know. And
tell them something
change.
Else.
Like Chinese food
say
in America.
Right,
okay.
exactly.
There
you go.
So your parents don't accept the fact that you're gay or the
they
religion?
Do. My immediate parents do, but not like the rest of my family.
Her dad who lives in the countryside in Trinidad.
Excuse me.
Yeah, to this day, he lives, you know, no running water, no electricity, like that kind of thing. So
that primitiveness goes against a belief in tolerance to other people's lives.
I don't think that it's so much that they don't believe in it. I just think that they're not exposed, you know. So it's very new for them. So
what? Gay?
Yeah.
No, gay is not new to anybody, honey.
No.
Gay predates all of us.
I agree with you.
Only
9%
of giraffe.
It has been whitewashed, so to speak, out of everybody's doctrine.
Right. That's what I mean.
Gay has been.
That's what I mean.
I think that maybe just the Hindu religion is very like. Ritualistic, you know what I mean?
Dogma.
So like, yeah, everything everything has a pattern. Like when someone dies, you do this. When you get married, you do this. Everything is very like this. So like when if the majority of population is heterosexual, then all of a sudden it's like, hi, I like girls. It's just like, I don't know how do you do
right.
a gay
that
Hindu
kind
wedding.
Of thing.
It just kind of like shocks their brain.
Gay
waves.
Hindu wedding, that would be a great idea.
That was actually one
it's
of our.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
You're going to do it?
Yeah.
Oh, God, we have to be invited.
We're
going to
wear saris and everything.
You're all invited.
I love that.
You look kind of
so
Indian
great.
Too, Katie. Now.
I'm Mediterranean. I'm Italian, German,
you
Lebanese,
go?
And
Tim
French.
Wants to go.
Italian, Lebanese, German, and French. I guess that's kind of Indian.
It's the Lebanese you see, though.
It's the Lebanese that you look.
My dad was adopted, so we thought I was Portuguese for my. Like most of my life.
Your dad was adopted?
Yeah.
Well, was adopted.
Really?
Hey,
yes.
Small
I never
world.
Would have guessed.
Her father was adopted.
Yeah.
Hey, so you could be Indian then?
I could be, but we found his real mom and then.
Oh, so you're not?
Yeah, no.
Birth mom.
Well, so much for that.
Birth mom.
His birth mom.
Okay.
Nice one, though.
Yeah. Hey, listen, everybody, we've got to get the heck out of here. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm happy. My special guests have been Chris Gabick down the end of the table. Who are you texting already?
Oh, no. I.
Making plans for the evening?
Oh, no. Those, no.
Okay.
There's music. I feel like I'm
okay,
in the Oscars.
Okay, we're out
no,
of here.
No, I have a good answer. Wait, no.
I'm sorry.
Thank everybody.
Rachel Dangermond joined
thank
us.
You.
Ken
thank
Dangermond has been here
thank
as well.
You.
Katie
thank
Channing
you.
And Shanice Grantsman, otherwise known as Mr. and Mrs. Channing and Grantsman. Or whatever you're going to be called.
We'll figure it out.
As, otherwise known as The Little Things. You can find them online. Go search for The Little Things. Our happy hour tributo, Andrew Duhon, of course, is here as well. Grant DeMonte is the producer of the show. Our associate producer and technical director is Chris Kehoe. Christian Unruh is our music director, and the theme song to Happy Hour, which is currently being played by and was written by Mitch Foreman. The fabulous audio quality of this show is brought to you in part by PreSonus Audio Electronics. PreSonus makes some of the best audio recording and live sound products, including Studio One music software, Studio Live digital mixing consoles, Aeris Studio monitors, and much more. PreSonus.com has all the info about that. If you'd like to be on our show and you can sit around the table and hang out with us and drink a margarita and still make sense at the end of the show, and like some of us, drop us a line. Our address is on our website, where you can also check out other Happy Hour shows as well as other shows on the website. Out to Lunch with Peter Ricciuti, live from Commander's Palace. Mindset with psychiatrist Dr. Nick Pajic. True to the Game with Chris True and Tammy Nelson. Vietnola, our show about the New Orleans Vietnamese community with the Vietnamese Terry Gross, Kim Vu. And Midnight Menu Plus One with Margot Moss and the man who ate New Orleans, Ray Canada. Keep up with us on Facebook, Twitter, and a bunch of other time-sucking social media as well. We're on all of it, and we're called It's New Orleans on each one. You can find photos from this show, if you want to know what anyone looks like, on itsneworleans.com and on Facebook. These photos were taken by the fabulous Douglas Engel, who's currently taking your photo right now. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Switcher, or our favorite podcast app, Swell, thank you for subscribing. Please take a moment to rate and review us. That does help other people find us, helps us as well. Our show was recorded live today at Castle Boreca on Aretha Castle Haley Boulevard in Central City, New Orleans, which is a bar, a restaurant, and a live music venue as well. Check them out on Facebook and Twitter, or just come down here to Casa Borrega. Happy Hour is a production of INO Broadcasting. For itsneworleans.com, for Andrew Duhon, everybody back at the INO office here at Casa Borrega around the table, I'm Grant Morris. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time on Happy Hour.